So with no further ado, it's my honor to have my son Nolan come today. He's going to share the word of God with you this morning. So Nolan, why don't you come and stand by me, and we're going to pray a prayer over Nolan. Don't we look so different? I'm burning up. He's wearing a coat. I'm like, okay, I must be getting old. My blood is pumping. I'm hot. So is everybody comfortable this morning? We have turned on our air conditioning even more. We jacked it up. It's on steroids, so we're ready to cool you off. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this amazing day. Thank you for the people that are in this room today, online today. One of our values is that you love people. And every person has a name, and every name has a story. And every one of those stories matters to you. They matter to us. So, Lord, we thank you for everyone that's in this room today. And, Lord, we know we see the value of every individual. Every individual has value. Every individual has worth. Every individual has purpose. And Lord, I just thank you so much for Nolan. I just thank you for him in my life, the challenge that he keeps before me to stay on fire for you, to stay hot for you, to stay in love with you. And Lord, I just thank you that as a 20-year-old, he's an example to a 57-year-older to, Dad, get your act together. And Lord, I'm so grateful for people like that in my life. And I'm just thankful that two of those people are my sons. I'm so grateful for your faithfulness, for your love. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Hey, with no further ado, let's give Nolan a warm welcome this morning.
Well, thank you, Dad. I know you said you don't play the lottery, but I do. So we might be getting that 100 million. No, I'm just kidding. I don't play the lottery. I'm just joking around. But like my dad said, if you're new to Journey Church, my name's Nolan. I'm the youngest of two sons. My mom is actually in Arizona seeing her family. So I just want to shout out to Yuma, Arizona, my grandparents, my aunt Melissa, and my mom. I'm just so happy that you guys are watching in. We got people watching in from D.C., North Carolina, Oklahoma. So it's going to be a fun day. But just a little bit about kind of my steps, just because I know a lot of you have kind of seen me grow up. So I graduated from my two-year program in Miami, Florida. So I'm still in the online school, sadly, but because, hey, Mom, I'm doing it for you. But I'm still in school, but actually this Friday, I'm moving down to Oklahoma City, and I got an internship there at a church called Life Church. I'm just so excited. I'll be helping out with the youth group there. So that's just a little bit more about me and kind of my journey and what I'm doing. And I'm honored to preach one more time before I ship off, before I go somewhere else again. But if you have a Bible, turn with me to the book of Ephesians. We'll be in chapter 4, and we'll be reading verses 17 through 24. And as you see, the scriptures behind me. But as we read scripture, let's all stand for the reading of God's word together. Paul writes this to the church in Ephesus. With the Lord's authority, I say this: live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness, and they wander from the light, the life God gives, because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasures and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have been heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Let's pray together one more time. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to share your word. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you'll speak through me today. Holy Spirit, flow through me and have it not be my words that I want to say, but the words that you have for me to say, Jesus. And Lord, I just pray that you open up the hearts, open up the minds, open up the ears of everyone listening here and everyone watching online, Father. I just pray that this word will fall on good soil today, Jesus. We're so grateful to be in your house. And Lord, we just pray over the Pittsburgh Steelers today. Help us not to go 1-4. In your name, amen. As you find your seat, you can High five a neighbor. Turn to your second option. Give them a fist bump. But this year, like I was saying earlier, I graduated from my two-year program in Miami, and I graduated with about six other guys, and so we're like, let's go to a trip to the Bible Museum in Washington, D.C. So all six of us, we all flew up to D.C., and my best friend Christian, he's from Fredericksburg, which is about a 50-minute drive for D.C., so he was our tour guide for the week. And I don't know if you've ever been to Fredericksburg, but it has all these like brick buildings, old classic looks, which for me, I love that aesthetic. So when I got there, I was like, oh, Christian, you don't know what you're doing for me. This is awesome. But it was just fun being in that city just because of all the historical things. If you guys know anything about U.S. history, so there's some Civil War battlegrounds that took place there. But when we were driving through the city, we got to do some cool stuff. Like, we got to eat lunch inside a bank vault. I know Jeff Johnson knows something about that. No, I'm kidding. Sorry. But we got to drive around. We got to see where John Wilkes Booth ran in after he broke his leg, which is now a Mexican restaurant called Un Poco Loco. So they're not giving that man any slack in that city. But then another thing we got to do is we got to open some card packs, which I know I've talked about some cards. That's one of my fun things I do. So that was a fun experience that we got to experience all together. But what was interesting about driving around Fredericksburg, like I said, it was all Civil War battlegrounds. And when I was driving with my best friend Christian, I would say, hey, what's that plot of land over there? He's like, oh, that's just a Civil War battleground. You drive about 5 minutes down the street, you see a plaque, and he's like, that's another Civil War battleground. We drive again. Hey, look at that battleground. I'm like, man, what is going on? And then there was one time he's like, wow, they're developing houses on an old Civil War battleground. I didn't know that was illegal, but it was funny seeing all these battlegrounds. And then there was one in particular where the battleground had gravestones all up and down the hillside. And I realized something when I saw that lives were lost and lives were saved on those battlegrounds. And just like there's these battlegrounds all around Fredericksburg, there's one big battleground inside each and every one of us here today. And that's the battleground of your mind. Many people have lost the war of their mind, but many people have won the war of their mind. And this is the most important fight that you'll ever get into. It's not the fight against the right. It's not a fight against the left. It's the fight that you fight in your mind every single day. Pastor Craig Crochelle says this, our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. Our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. So with that in mind today, church, where are your thoughts taking you? Where are your thoughts taking you? Research shows us that the average American adult watches TV or videos online for about 5 to 6 hours a day. Average millennials on their phone 4 hours a day. Millennials have found that in a year they almost consume 2,800 hours of content, and only 153 hours of that is Christ-based content. We're taking in 2,800 hours of content. Only 153 of that is Christ-based content. This content that we're taking in includes promotion of sex, promotion of self, promotion of greed, promotion that is holding us back from everything that God has for us. Instead of moving us forward, we're getting pushed back. And this content is influencing our strongest thoughts and influencing our behavior. Look at this equation. Unhealthy content leads to unhealthy thoughts, leads to unhealthy behaviors. But the reverse is true as well. That healthy content leads to healthy thoughts, leads to healthy behaviors. And if you're anything like me, when I get a thought in my head, I just run with it. Recently, I've been watching some good old Western movies. So naturally, I wanna get some cowboy boots. They gotta have the spurs on them too, so when I walk, it makes that sound. I wanna get the belt buckle. I wanna get the poncho, just like Clint Eastwood. Come on, I wanna grow a beard like Clint Eastwood. I wanna learn how to ride a horse. I want a cowboy hat. Is anyone else like that when they get a thought? No? Okay, pray for your boy, because I'm having troubles, because I'm moving to Oklahoma. I'm about to be a cowboy. But that's why it's so important that we watch the content that we take in, because if you're anything like me, you can run with a thought. You can run with an idea. So looking at your life, what content are you taking in today? Are you taking in another political podcast? Are you taking in more conspiracy theories? Is it another episode of TV or another movie that's promoting sex? Is it more music with swearing? Because the content that we take in determines the behaviors that we live out. Look at what this says on the screen. What we sow into our minds, we reap into our character. What we sow into our minds, we reap into our character. I'm sowing in Western movies. Now I'm trying to be a cowboy. What we sow in our minds, we're trying to be. But look at what this one study says. The constant repetition of these thoughts or images in your head will lead to changing your subconscious mind and subsequently these things coming into your life. Without being aware of it, people often repetitively play the same negative mental images over and over in your mind, in their minds. Over and over in their minds. We're watching so much negative content, we're taking in so much negative content that it's shaping how we live. It's shaping the actions that come out of our lives. That's why I like the analogy of an athlete. That's why they watch so many hours of film, because when it gets to game time, they see the defense ahead of time. They see the offense ahead of time. Tom Brady isn't the GOAT just because he just sat there and was like, all right, put on the pads and let's play. No, he spent hours of building this content so subconsciously he could see the play coming. I believe that the information that we take in will be the content that comes out. This month, while I've been home, it's been fun. I've been able to work in the school district. But it's interesting walking around and interacting with those teachers, because I guess I never realized this when I was in school, but the teachers at those schools have so much impact on those students, especially in the elementary school, because those teachers are with those students 8 hours a day. And what I realize is the stuff that we're teaching in schools now can either help our children, well, I don't have children, help the future generation, or it's going to hurt the future generation for the good or for the bad. And there's things that teachers to you, or parents, when you interact with those kids, you can see how those kids are being raised because of the parents that they have. And that's one thing I'm grateful for my parents, is that they sowed into me love and encouragement, which now as a 20-year-old, it has led to healthy self-confidence. And then you can see children at any of the elementary school, you can see the ones that they might not have parents that are interested. They might not have parents that are sown in love. And that's leading to when they become our age, you're going to see the effects of what their parents sowed into them. And I'm just grateful, like I said, for my parents, because I'm not a father yet, thank God. But I just know from experience of being raised that the content of my parents, hey, we're going to church. We're teaching you Bible lessons. You're going to be going to Wednesday night every night. That has sown into me habits of, hey, I'm going to church every Sunday. I need to be at church every Sunday, because the things that my parents sowed into me, I'm reaping now at 20. And I just want to encourage parents to keep sowing what you want to reap. Colossians 1:21b says this: you are enemies separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Many people believe that we're separated by God because, ooh, I got this one bad tattoo that I can't show. Or, hey, I dyed my hair. God must not love me. Or because of the way that we dress, we might think that we're separated by God. But it's because of our evil thoughts, our evil actions that we're separated. So all these thoughts, all these ideas, all this content that's coming at us, we need to separate through the mess. And if we are to win the war in our minds, we need to change the content that we take in. So looking at the equation, healthy content leads to healthy thoughts, leads to healthy behaviors. But how do we do this? How do we do this, Nolan? I want to change the content. How do we do this? Look at verse 20 and 21 in Ephesians 4. But this isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him. Paul was urging the church in Ephesus to remember what they have learned. And this brings me to my first point, is that we must learn it. We must learn it. When you read Paul's letters in the New Testament, there's a common theme to his letters, a common saying that he has, and that's to learn about Christ, to learn about Christ. And Jesus, he's a rabbi, which simply means he's a teacher, which, have you ever had something where it's like, you've always known this truth, but then it just hits you so hard? That's what this week's been for me. It's like, Jesus is a rabbi. And then I've started going back through the Gospels, and I'm like, Jesus is trying to teach us things, because Jesus wants us to learn about him. Many think that knowledge is the enemy of faith, but scripture writers constantly advocate for faith that isn't opposed to knowledge, but based on knowledge. So faith is based on knowledge. So in the 2,800 hours of taking in content, 153 is Christ-centered content. So that means we have 2,647 hours of learning non-Christ-related content. One of the habits that I have in my life is I'm a teeth freak. Like, if my teeth have food in it, like, I can't talk. I'm like, oh, sorry, I got something in my mouth. I can't talk because I don't want you seeing that food. That's the blessings of masks, because you can't see anybody's teeth. But one of the habits that I have is every morning and every time before I go to bed, I need to floss my teeth, I need to brush my teeth, and then I need to do mouthwash. And if I miss any one of these steps, I can tell, oh, I didn't brush my tongue well enough. I know that my breath stinks. I know that the spaces in between my teeth aren't minty fresh. I know that sounds crazy, but I can tell, like, oh, I know I didn't floss today, or if I didn't get that mouthwash, I don't feel that burn of the Listerine or whatever's in the mouthwash. I feel that in my body. But maybe there's habits that you have formed with the content that you've taken in, and you see how it's affecting your life. I know earlier this year at Journey Church, we went through a collection on the book Atomic Habits, and this is what the author of Atomic Habits says. Every action you take is a vote for the type of person you wish to become. Every action you take is a vote for the type of person you wish to become. So based upon the stats that we saw earlier, we have 2,647 votes to become people that we might not want to become. And we only have 153 votes towards the people that we truly want to be. I believe so many of us in this room today and watching online, we want to become more like Jesus. We want to become more loving. We want to become more generous. We want to be more kind to people. We want to be more compassionate. But according to that stat, our hours of what we're spending into is saying something completely different. Rather than becoming loving, we're becoming lustful. Rather than becoming generous, we're becoming greedy. Rather becoming selfless, we're becoming selfish. And if we know anything about habits, there are things that are repeated. So with all this content coming in, they're repeating the same thoughts over and over and over in our mind. Coming over to the point where they're becoming a permanent thought process. But we see we're to learn more about Christ. And I believe when we learn more about Christ, he breaks those thought patterns. He changes our mind. He changes the chemistry in our mind. And I believe he heals through the process of learning about him. Because Jesus, he wants us free from the bondage of sin. He wants us free from the bondage of our mind. And yet so much of the content that we take in keeps us in that bondage. Because we keep repeating the same things over and over and over. So Nolan, how do we learn more about Jesus today? Well, welcome to a great first step. You're sitting in Journey Church. I would say this is a great place to learn more about Jesus. A great thing is just to hear the Word of God. Hear a good preaching on the Word of God. I'm not saying I'm the good preacher, but that's not what I meant. Just to come hear the Word of God. Maybe another one is what we announced, that we have a Bible study every Tuesday night. That's a great first step to learn more about Jesus. And on maybe when we start small groups in January, join a small group. That's a perfect place to learn more about Jesus. Maybe you want to start reading your Bible. Start with 5 minutes a day in the book of John. That's a great way to start reading your Bible. Maybe you want to be more of a prayer warrior. Start with 5 minutes before each day and before you go to bed each night. And what I've realized in my life, my parents put in a habit of prayer before food for me, and that just reminds me to slow down, spend time in prayer, and thank God for the food that He's given me. But look at what James Clear says again. Bamboo can barely be seen in the first 5 years as it builds extensive root systems underground before exploding 90 feet into the air within 6 weeks. Bamboo takes 5 years but then explodes within 6 weeks. And the same is true in our spiritual life. After one time you read the Bible, your whole life might not be changed. But you're building extensive root systems. You're building something over 5 years that's going to explode later in life. Over time, that anxiety that you might be facing is leaving just because you're building a root system. Maybe those judgmental remarks that you have are being changed into loving remarks because of the root system that you're building. We're all on a journey. And I want to encourage you guys this morning. I know for me, I'm the type of guy that, oh, I changed one thing in my life, now my whole life's got to be different. But that's just not true, so I want to encourage you guys not to be discouraged in doing good. Don't get tired of reading your word every morning, every day. Don't get tired of showing up to church every Sunday. Maybe you haven't seen the fruits of coming to church every Sunday, but I want to encourage you that you're building a root system in your life. Don't get tired of praying for that friend that doesn't know Jesus. Keep praying for them. Keep praying for that daughter. Keep praying for that husband. Keep praying for that child, because in due season, you'll reap a harvest, and the harvest is us becoming more like Christ. Verse 23 says this, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. So first, we need to learn it, and second, we need to let it. We need to let it. Imagine if Tom Brady watched film, and then it came to game time, he said, sorry, coach, I'm not playing today. This is not what I want to do. I just want to watch film. I just want to learn, and then I'm just going to sit this one out, okay? Sounds good? No, this in the let it phase is this is the moment when we let the knowledge transform us. It's not enough to keep it in head knowledge. We need to allow it to transform our hearts. Romans 12:2, another Paul letter. It says, don't copy the behaviors and the customs of this world, but let God transform you. Let God transform you into the new person by changing the way you think. And then you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Just real quick, this isn't in my notes, but to learn God's will, I think so many of us were like, well, I know for me, I'm like, oh, what's God's will for my life? What does God want me to do? But we see it's a process of learning. It's a process of letting God transform your mind. And I want to encourage you, maybe you don't know the next steps of your future, just say, hey, I'm just going to take it slow. I'm going to allow God to teach me what He has for me. But in these two scriptures, the Ephesians 4:23 and then the Romans 12:2, I find it interesting that says, let God transform you. Let God transform you. So if Paul is mentioning to let God transform us, people must not be letting God transform them. And my guess, there's people even in this church today that are like, God, I don't want you to see that kind of that secret sin. I don't want you to see that. Maybe, hey, God, you don't need to know about that. Like that, just sweep it under the rug. Don't worry about it. But I want to tell you something today, Journey Church. Jesus already knows all about you. He knows the good, He knows the bad, and He knows the ugly. Shout out Clint Eastwood again. But God knows the good, the bad, and the ugly about you, and yet He still loves you. He still loves you. And yet Jesus, He's a gentleman. Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. He's not like a police team where He's knocking down the door. No, Jesus is knocking, and we need to let Him in. If we don't confess our sin, confess that area to Jesus, he can never heal it. And I do believe that there'll be things of conviction from the Holy Spirit in our lives on certain areas, but you need to allow the Holy Spirit to renew and transform your mind. We need to make space and time for God just to transform us. It's not by our power or our might. It's not by another self-help book that we change, but it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to give you two simple practices that can help you allow, give you the space for the Holy Spirit to transform your mind. You guys ready for this? Oh, come on. You guys don't seem that excited. Come on. But the first one is silence and solitude. So what is silence and solitude? This is one of the spiritual disciplines that we see Jesus practice on a regular basis. And I would encourage you, if you want to go deeper, I would YouTube a guy named John Mark Comer, because he's a much better teacher than I am, and he explains this so well. So I'd encourage you to look him up on YouTube. But silence and solitude is where there's no other inputs into your mind, just time with you and Jesus. There's no music on in the background. There's no one trying to talk to you. There's no kids running around. There's no TV on. This is a moment between you and Jesus. And this space, if you're an introvert, this isn't a time for you to be refreshed and recharged. This is the field on which the battle is won or lost. Henry Nouwen says this: solitude is not a private therapeutic place. Rather, solitude is the furnace of transformation. Without solitude, we remain victims of our society. We remain victims to the content that we take in, and we continue to be entangled in the illusion of the false self. We continue to be caught in the illusion of the false self. So this is the moment where God can reveal certain thought processes that we have to us, that have shaped us by the content that we've taken in. They're exposed and brought into light. They're put through the furnace. In this moment, when we have these thoughts come to us that Jesus wants to transform, we come to a crossroad. Will we allow the devil to keep telling us his lies, or will we allow the truth of Jesus to continue to transform us? In the quiet, that's either when we lose or win the battle of the hearts, of the mind's attention and the heart's affection. If you're like, well, I don't see Jesus doing that. Well, Jesus, he did this all the time. He spent much time in silence and solitude. Before he ever went into public ministry, he spent 40 days alone in the wilderness by himself. He would go be by himself to spend time with the Father. Before he chose the disciples, he spent time by himself. For us here in 2021, how could this look like? What would this look like for us? My morning routine before I brush my teeth is I read my Bible. I read my one-year Bible. And then recently, I just set a five-minute stopwatch on my phone. And after, I just sit there in silence for 5 minutes. I don't expect anyone to be, all right, right away I'm spending an hour in solitude. Just like the Bible reading, we need to build extensive root systems. So I want to encourage you, maybe it's just a minute of, hey, I'm just going to stop. I'm just going to listen. Maybe it's 2 minutes, 3 minutes, whatever it is. I want to encourage you to just spend silence alone with God. And maybe you don't have a place for quiet. You're like, well, I got three kids. I got a kid. I don't have time for quiet. Maybe your drive, your commute to work every morning can just be, hey, this is just a time for me and God. I don't care if it's just right down the street or a 15-minute drive. This is just my time for God. Maybe it could be going on that walk, just saying, hey, I'm not going to put in my AirPods. I'm just going to walk and listen to what the Lord has to say to me. And then another practice is meditation. When you think of meditation, what do you guys think of? For me, but when I was learning about meditation, I always thought of a hippie with a ponytail sitting on the ground cross-legged with Birkenstocks on and then smoke filling the air. But we see that's not what biblical meditation is. That type of meditation is to empty out the negative, become peaceful. But the meditation of the Bible, the meditation that we see that David practices, all the psalmists practice, is to fill our mind with God's truth. Not to empty, but to fill our minds with God's truth. And Colossians 3:1-2, I think, is a perfect example found in Scripture. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Think about the things of heaven, not the content that we're taking in. Meditation is simply setting our sights on things above. Thinking about the things of heaven, not the things of this earth. We can replace those negative content with the truth of God's word when we fill our minds. Just like a habit, it's transforming us. It's renewing our minds. We start seeing the different, hey, I'm reading John 3:16. That's the verse I'm going to think about every single day this week. So then you get that habit of, oh, okay, I'm thinking about John 3:16, for God so loved. Oh, my new thoughts are, okay, God loves the whole world. And now the behavior is, hey, I'm going to go love everybody that I come into contact with. As we go about our day, just think about Scripture. Maybe it's a new verse every day. I know people that, all right, new day, new verse. Some people, hey, this week I'm focusing on this verse. Some people, hey, this month I'm focusing just on this verse. Whatever it is, I want to encourage you to fill your mind with God's truth, because that's when we will see the transformation of our mind and the power that the Word of God has. But maybe you're like, Nolan, I don't even know Jesus this morning. I don't even know how to start. This is a moment that I want to give you guys. If you want to make that decision to follow Jesus, I want to give you that chance right now. Jesus, he came down to earth 2,000 years ago, fully God and yet fully man. He experienced everything that we experience. He knows how to relate with us because he was fully human as well. And 2,000 years ago, he took up his cross and died for the sins of everybody in this world. And maybe you're like, Nolan, Jesus can't, you don't know what I did last night. You don't know my past. You don't know my record. Jesus could never save me. But I want to encourage you guys today that Jesus loves you, that Jesus wants a relationship with you. So with every head bowed and all the eyes closed, if you want to make that decision to follow Jesus, you want to make that decision to be like, hey, Jesus, I know that you love me, and I want to accept you into my heart. I want to give you that opportunity right now. So on the count of three, if you want to make that decision, you can lift your hand. So one, Jesus, he's madly in love with you today, church. Two, he wants a relationship with you. And three, if you want to accept Jesus into your life, you can raise your hand. No one's looking around. This is a moment between you and God. Maybe it's just that decision in your heart. This is a moment that we have together. So let's all pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the hands that were raised today. Father, I just pray as we go on this journey of life that you'll change our minds, that we'll let you transform our minds, Jesus, that we'll give you the space to transform our minds, Father. I pray that we won't be controlled by the ways of this world, Father, that we will change the content that we take in so that we can live in fullness and in purpose of you, Father. Lord, I just pray for everyone that accepted you into their hearts today, that we'll be able to help them along the journey, and that they'll just feel comfortable coming up to us and say, hey, how do I start this journey? Father, I just pray over everyone in this room today. I just pray that this word will impact people and that they'll take it into their everyday lives. Father, we're just so thankful for what you've done and what you're doing in our lives. In your name, amen.
Amen. Nolan, thank you for a simple message, certainly not an easy message, but a simple message that what you take in, ultimately you're going to give out. What you take in is going to come out. And I just want to challenge us. Nolan, thank you for that message. Are you thankful for that message this morning? All right.